To get better rates on mortgages, loans, and credit cards, you don't need to know the friend of a friend of the second cousin of a dog walker who went to school with the adopted son of a reflexologist who's currently plant-sitting for the stepsister of a social media influencer that lives next door to some guy who works in finance. You just need a little help from Experian to improve your credit score. Download the Experian app and check your credit score and report for free today.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth Beans. Joining me on the show is Nick, Spike, FIFO, and Shelton.
What's happening?
What up? Appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. We got a hell of a show in store for you guys, man. We're going to talk about the Broncos. They just keep winning, man. We don't know what's going on, but, you know, I don't know if it's fool's gold or whatnot, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into that. We also have a conversation about the Texans and the Jaguars, which was kind of a crazy game, which has been a lot of these fourth quarter seemingly unwinnable comebacks that's been happening in the NFL. And then we're going to talk about another snooze fest of a game, but resulted in a win with the Eagles and the Packers on Monday Night Football. And then we have our weekly picks. And, of course, we close out with Spike's power rankings for Week 11. What is not on here is another comeback that took place this weekend. Caleb Williams coming back against the Giants. But nevertheless, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about
We know why.
You know, we're not here to talk about somebody putting together a moment. We're here to talk about
career play.
It's two in a row. It's two in a row, man.
It don't fit the narrative.
Against both his teams, Spike. Nick, what you got for
notes? He's looking at his notes, kid. Like that wasn't in there.
What you got for worst of the week?
Well, on cue, as y'all always like to think that I avoid conversations, I'm here to talk about Brian Daboll and New York Giants. He deserves worst of the week because he got fired. He got fired for being bad at his job, but he deserved to be fired because, Ken, he has me having to talk about Caleb Williams' comeback victory. When I was watching that whole game, Ken, it was boiling my blood. They was up 17-7. Caleb wasn't really doing shit. The game wasn't going his way. The teammates were dropping passes easy. It was in the snow at home. I was ready to talk about Action Jackson. He was going to be best performance of the week if he would have won that game. It was going to be Action Jackson. Instead, I got to talk about Brian Daboll, goofy looking ass, as he blew another game, which is like in a row. Like I think there was a stat that he's blown the most fourth quarter leads or games going into
double digit touchdowns.
Yeah, for the year, and it's like, come on, bro, like. First of all, you're in a rebuild team, and this is supposed to be the uphill of that rebuild. Look at what the Patriots are doing over in Boston. So to me, it was like, yeah, Brian Daboll deserved it. He started his career 7-2, and I think he ended his career 13-38 or some shit like that. It's like, come on. And to me, what sticks out about that is certain coaches get a long leash, Shelton. certain coaches, they can let their quarterback that they were with go and then be still there to draft another quarterback before they get fired, even though this season we knew that he probably should have been fired at the top of the year. Other coaches ain't going to get that. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's like when you have more of a leash, you have more time to prove yourself and you still don't do it and you cost the game and you fuck up a quarterback. Like Jackson Dart has had concussions. He got as many concussions as he does rushing touchdowns. Mm. So it's just like at this point, bro, you got to just – he was willing to throw anybody under the bus to save his job. And the bus backed up on him. Worst performance of the week is Brian Daboll.
My bad. Go ahead. I don't know if you listened to Bomani yet, Nick, but he was talking about – he gave a perfect analogy. He was like Brian Daboll and Jackson Dart is like you renting a car versus owning a car. Mm-hmm. And, like, he just going out there doing all kind of stupid shit with Jackson Dart and letting him get concussions and all this stupid shit because he renting the car. He know he ain't going to be there next year. But if he owned the car, he'd be treating it a little bit differently.
Exactly.
So I thought that was a dope-ass analogy.
Yeah.
Keegan Wally down, Nick. I can't believe you doing that, man. You don't kick that man Wally down like that.
Bro, listen, you already know. It's the wrong Brian that I'm hoping the Giants get, but he ain't coming.
He might, man. He might. They might make up.
He's suing them, bro. Yeah, anybody who sue you, you're not going to give him a job.
That'll end the lawsuit. He'll have to get rid of the lawsuit, and he'll take the job.
We'll see. But yeah, that's the worst performance of the week for me.
Damn. Hey, Brian, I feel bad.
Well, yeah, it was an interesting game because, you know, there's still a lot Caleb got to work on because he just spends a lot of time running around in the backfield in that game. And I got to admit, the Giants did put a lot of pressure on him and force him to run around. But he still was taking a little bit too long to get some of the check down throws, et cetera, et cetera. But then he'll turn around and make a hell of a pass.
It's all the time. Like,
Jesus. Like, it's just like, golly. See it, but it's just like, it just sometimes don't manifest itself. And, man, but it was a good comeback. But it all started with that fumble. And I think if Jackson Dart would have been in the game, it probably would have ended differently. I think they had to definitely run a different offense when Russ came in the game, so that didn't help at all. Mm-hmm. And I think being scared and kicking that field goal instead of going for the touchdown didn't help either.
My thing is, like, at this point, why are you putting Russ in? You got Jameis right there. Like, Russ looks like he don't know what he looked like. Lou, somebody called Lou up and said, "Hey, man, you want to play quarterback real quick?" He was like, "Man, how much money? For real? Oh, hell yeah!" I'm like, and like you got somebody random. Like Russ looked like he, like the fact, if you told me this was a Super Bowl winning QB who damn near won two Super Bowls, I'd be like, "Bro, you a fucking liar." He looks totally different. Like he looks like he don't know what the fuck.
That's he just look like Sierra's husband now.
Exactly. Jameis in there. Like at that point, that's why I'm reason why, like, Dave, okay, he don't even like Russ. So I'm like, why are you still putting the nigga in if you don't even like
him? Nick, Russ swore he probably thought he had a touchdown, bro. He took off running and he ran into a wall.
he ran like he knew, he ran like he was like, oh, it's this six right here. And said he got hit. Nigga, like.
I mean, it was no forward motion. It was nothing. He just stopped. It was crazy. But let's move on. So we got the Broncos, man. Let's talk about another organization that's finding ways to win. The Denver Broncos keep adding to their win column as they defeated the Las Vegas Raiders at home this past Thursday in primetime 10-7, improving their overall record to 8-2. This puts them in a three-way tie with the Colts and the Patriots for the best record in the league. After watching that game, do the Broncos look like a top-three team in the AFC? And do we need to have a conversation about the Raiders organization overall?
I will say this.
No, I was just saying, well, Colts, Patriots, and Eagles for the best record. Go ahead.
Got you.
Okay.
Yeah, it for me, in terms of Denver, it's not pretty. Ken asked.
I ain't talking to you.
I got you. But in terms of Broncos, it's ugly, but they're winning, and they're winning a lot of different ways, which I think bodes well for a team like this where they are and their level of progression for the playoffs. You know, they made it last year. I think Sean Payton knows what it takes to win in this league, and we're seeing that. We're seeing that by any means necessary with this team. They've won a couple of pretty games, not many, but the majority of them have been ugly. But we know this, that they have an identity. We know that they're going to go out there and they're going to play defense and they get sacks and they get turnovers and they cause havoc. And as long as the offense can put up something, you know what I'm saying, they're going to be all right. Now, I think that side of the ball definitely needs to get better. Bo Nix needs to become more consistent. I think that's the next level of progression in his game. But at the end of the day, we've seen this man, no matter how bad he's played, when it comes down to the time for him to do something to win the game, he does it. So I think we got to give them credit for that. In terms of the Raiders,
as an organization, man, these boys have been in the stinker for a very long time. And I think that they've moved in the right direction by getting a future Hall of Fame head coach, somebody that has won a Super Bowl, somebody that has built it from the ground up. I do question Chip Kelly a little bit, mainly because we haven't seen the sustained level of success in the NFL with that style and just the way that he is as a person and coach. He doesn't necessarily galvanize players. It don't look good over there in Oakland or Las Vegas. I'm sorry. It doesn't look good over there. And I think it all starts up front with that offensive line. They have one of the worst ones in the league. You look at what's the running back name? You know, I'll be bad with names. Ashton Jeanty. Nah, look, that's not 100% his fault. The hit rate behind the line of scrimmage is ridiculous, you know. And when you look at his rate of breaking tackles, it actually is elite. He can't be getting hit two times behind the line of scrimmage, bro. Like, there's no running back that's gonna have success with that type of offensive line play. Geno is definitely cooked. I thought he'd be at least serviceable, middle of the pack, but I think it's a wrap for him. I think they definitely need to go in a different direction, whether that be via trade in the offseason or young quarterback in the draft. But I don't think they're far off. I just think that this division at the top, the other three teams are that much better right now. But I don't think the Raiders are far off. But they definitely need a quarterback in the O-line if they're going to make any noise next year.
Yeah, it was a tough game to watch on the offensive side of the ball. Both defenses played really, really well. I'm talking about the Raiders defense stepped up big time. I didn't expect them to play as well as they did in that game at all. But they held up nicely. The offense just didn't give them any type of help. Geno looked terrible. He had to come out in game a couple times. And when he came out, they still looked lost. So Chip Kelly called the third and two or something like that. He called a quarterback sneak. It was just some ugly play calling too, down the stretch, and some, you know, and Geno looked lost in the pocket. So he got a lot of pressure. I forgot how many sacks they had, but it was just some sacks.
It was like 10 sacks.
Yeah, on some key downs, it was just crazy because they had several opportunities to win this game. The defense put them in great position several times. You got two interceptions by, I can't remember his name, Kelly was the DB. You got two interceptions on both Knicks, and the defense put them in position to win. It's just that the offense couldn't get anything going whatsoever. They take two steps forward and three back. It was just an ugly game on both sides of the ball. And the better team, the better coach team, won that particular game. I think that Chip Kelly is your odd man out next year. You're right. They do have to play Geno. Geno made some mistakes that a veteran quarterback can't make. If nothing else, all you had to do was hold the fort down. He didn't hold the fort down.
All right, to answer your original question, yes, I do think that there are better teams in the AFC than the Broncos, regardless of record. I would still take Kansas City to go to the Broncos Stadium and win. I would still take Baltimore. I would maybe take New England. So, yeah, they're in the Colts as well. And maybe the Chargers. So, then three and two possibles, most definitely, that I would take over just because of the play of Bo Nix. I don't think that he's for real in the sense of being at the level that of a quarterback that can win playoff games. That defense may be that coach. Yes, absolutely believe that. But I don't think that there's a chance that he can battle against any of the top QBs in the AFC that may be making the playoffs and win. And that's even including Daniel Jones. So I got them under all of those teams. As far as the Raiders, they got one good player, Brock Bowers. That's it.
No, Max Crosby. However,
offense,
yeah, and I meant offense, but yeah, you're right. Max Crosby is good as well, but there's not a lot for them to build around, and I don't think that Pete Carroll is the person either. Like Chip Kelly, y'all right? Chip Kelly shouldn't have a job right now. Like he should be walked out of the door with some of the other offensive coordinators as bad as he's done this season. But I also don't know if I need to build – if I'm bringing a new quarterback in that ain't going to be Geno Smith and Pete Carroll chose Geno Smith, I might need to move on from Pete Carroll as well. I know it's 1 year. I know he's a Hall of Fame coach. But if I'm bringing a brand new quarterback in, do I want him with an 80-year-old head coach?
I find it interesting. I'll start with the Raiders. Sean, it's crazy that they had a chance to get your boy Shador, and they chose Geno. And listen, I mean, Shador used to a bad old line, so he could have probably done something better with this. And he gave him Brock Bowers in the I didn't want to talk about that running back. But to me, the Raiders organization is a horrendous organization. They chose with what pick did they have, Shador? Was it fourth or sixth?
Was it fourth?
He was top five. FIFO started off saying that the Raiders have one of the worst offensive lines in the league, and they chose a running back Ken with their fourth overall pick. That's insane. People thought Tom Brady, Pete Carroll, and Chip Kelly would be some type of trifecta, and it's looked like nothing, the complete opposite of that. I don't understand who constructed this team. And who thought – some people thought the Raiders may even be a playoff team. I was like, well, I don't – how, when, why? So I'll leave it at that. They're a horrible organization. I don't know what – if you told me to clean house next season, I would understand that. If they wanted to run it back to get a higher draft pick so they can really rebuild, then I can see that as well. But either way, they're nowhere near competing for anything. With the Broncos, to me – it's funny, Lou was talking about, he said the defense is good, the head coach is good, the quarterback ain't. And I'm thinking, Ken, who picked the quarterback? Whose offense is this? And who's supposed to be the Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning head coach? And I'm like, why are we not talking about Sean Payton in this offense too? Because this is his guy. It ain't like he was like some Brian Daboll where he adopted Daniel Jones. It ain't like he's some whoever other head coach just who – Or even, what's his name, Ben Johnson, who adopted Caleb. It's like, you were there when this guy was – when you had to pick. You picked him because you said that he could be the best to run your offense. And then when we look at what happened last Thursday, it's like, why the fuck is he even starting? Because to me, Ken, anybody can put up 10 points, especially on the Raiders.
We just saw it Monday.
It's because they're 8-2. That's why nobody's questioning him.
No,
They're 8-2,
but it's a false 8-2. It's like when the Steelers.
How's it a false?
Remember that.
I can tell you how if y'all want to know. I was waiting for people to say it.
We're leading the division with the Super Bowl. You're contending team.
You're giving me the answer, like how you got the answer doesn't matter too. Like show your work, nigga. Nope. We see these games. We see how these games go. Somebody and they keep on trying to flower it up by saying, "Oh, in the fourth quarter when it count." I'm like, "Why do we have to wait till the fourth quarter?"
I'm just telling you the reason why they're not questioning. That's why they're not questioning Sean Payton.
I'm going to add some context. But you know, you talk about the fourth quarter. I mean, is it possible he's the white Jalen Hurts?
No, Ken.
He might, hey, Ken, I think he's just more the white Tim Tebow.
Yeah, that's closer.
What? He steps up, he wins the games.
No,
what did Spike say? Spike say the defense good. He went through the whole list, and then he said the quarterback's not. I don't know. It sounded very familiar to me.
That's not familiar.
If it wasn't for just past Monday night game where the Eagles also only threw up 10 points, I would say that's a crazy take you have. But all I'm saying
is crazy,
like, with both Mix, it's just like, bruh, the only good drive that I remember from Bo Nix, like that was like that meant something, was last year in the playoffs when they faced the Bills. That first drive where he threw that touchdown pass, I think to the guy he's like throwing it to now, Franklin or something like that. Yeah. It looked like they was gonna have a good game. And then two minutes later, he was like, "Oh yeah, I forgot he's shitty."
Dallas.
I mean, but that's, again, a shitty team, a bum team. Like,
it's a terrible defense.
So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know?
my thing is, like, they're winning these one-score games. They're not playing well offensively, period. Like, and to me, that's like, that has to be on part of the head coach too, because it's like,
but Nick, it's still 8-2 though.
They're 8-2, that's, but it don't mean shit to say. Lou, last week we talked about how for the Kansas City Chiefs, it don't mean shit as long as they make the playoffs, because we know what they can do in the playoffs. Right. To me, if we can use that logic to talk about greatness, we can also use that logic to talk about somebody who's shitty. Because
you can't criticize Sean Payton for them because they always gonna fall back to their 82. Regardless of how it looks, Nick Sirianni had kept a job for the last 3 years, regardless of the record and going on how it looked. So that's not going to be the determining factor.
But you're and I know this is fits your bill, but like you're being disrespectful to Jalen Hurts to even compare the Bo Nix situation in Denver to what Nick Sirianni is dealing with in Philadelphia, bro. We've seen enough of Jalen Hurts at this point to know that what he can do and what he can't do, and he can do a lot. What I'm looking at with Bo Nix is like, what does Bo Nix do well? Like point blank period.
Well, it's his second year in the league, right?
We ain't doing that because people have put Caleb Williams on the clock in his second year, and you did. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. And then we also, you know, FIFA, why his goofy ass looking at me that way, people also put Jaden Daniels on the clock this year as well, too. Yeah, and Drake May. And we all are talking about all these. I'm saying we're all talking about these quarterbacks with an honest take, with an honest eye, with an honest scope, looking at how these games are won and lost. And we keep on just saying, oh, shit, like, they keep winning, and I'm like, bro, I told y'all when Bo Nix got drafted, I'm never going to really try to focus on Bo Nix because he ain't shit. It's all going to be based off of Sean Payton. The same way Kyle Shanahan is arrogant with his quarterback, so is Sean Payton, bro. He really think he could turn anybody into Drew Brees. He really think that this team is one of the best teams in the league, period. And defensively, he's right. But offensively, bro, it is horrendous. That Thursday night game was an eyesore, bro. That was an eyesore.
So – what I want to say is, Lou, they are 8-2. The record is what it is. They have a winning record. We can't deny that, right? But let's talk about some of these wins. Out of those eight, the 3-6, Jake Browning led Bengals. The 2-7, Geno Smith led Raiders by 3 points. The 3-5, Davis Mills led Texans by 3 points. The 1-7, Justin Fields led Jets 13-11. The 2-7, Jackson Dart led Giants by 1 point. And the 1-8, Cam Ward led Titans by 1 score. Saw that on Twitter. Shout out on November 6th. So shout out to that.
You know what, though, Ken? The 8 wins from the Colts and the 8 wins from the Patriots are no better. I promise you that.
I know. I saw the same thing about the Patriots, too. I saw the same thing about the Patriots. Like, nobody really respects their win.
So,
yeah, same thing with the Colts.
About the AFC this year, you're going to have the bottom seeding teams, Kansas City, Baltimore, and whoever's lucky to get in at number 7 right there. I don't know if it's going to be Buffalo or if they're going to win it. Well, Buffalo probably won't win the division. So, you're looking at Buffalo, Baltimore, and Kansas City going on the road against these teams in the AFC. Who you think going to win?
Yeah.
I understand all that, but, you know, I think sometimes these records can be fool's gold. But they won, and they need it. I mean, if you're a good team, you're supposed to beat bad teams, even if you may be a bad team yourself. You know, so they managed to do it. And what happens when they get into a real situation where they're going to need a little bit more? So we'll see. We'll find out. But, you know, I think the Patriots just went out and got a quality win, right?
They did
against the Bucks
on the road.
That's their second best win of the season.
They don't have anybody else the rest of the season. But it's crazy to think, though, in this playoffs, you got Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen all starting on the road.
That would be crazy. I think with the Patriots, though, I think what we definitely have to give them credit, and you know, you play whoever it is on your record, right, or on the schedule. Yeah. Drake May has taken a jump forward in quarterbacking. Let's just be honest. And I think that when you have a quarterback that's playing the way that he's playing with a head coach that we know has had success in this league, not necessarily being a quarterback guru, but being a CEO of a team and really emphasizing the defense. And you have a quarterback this young, this good, playing this good with an OC that has had a Hall of Fame quarterback previously. I'm not saying that they're going to be world beaters, but I think they out of the teams that were trashed last year or coming into the season, we didn't think that they were going to be that good. I think they're the team that I fear the most just because of the quarterback. Broncos, I fear.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
I was going to say Broncos, I fear, because of the defense. But when you have a quarterback playing like the way Drake May is playing, bro, like anything can happen.
They may have gotten that one right, FIFO. They may have gotten that one right. I feel bad for the brother, but it does look different.
No, I think they. My thing with that situation is they knew they wanted Mike Vrabel before they even hired Gerard Mayo.
They did.
That was the thing. Like, I don't know why they made him wait. I don't know why they even wasted everybody's time with Gerard Mayo. But the fact is, like, when they hired him, it was like, all right, then if you're going to hire him, at least give him time to develop. And they didn't even do that just to go hire Mike Vrabel. That's why I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, congrats to them. I know New England's happy because they got their guy, they got their quarterback, and look, and this is a great second year for him. But it was just a goofy-ass way of how they went about it.
But you know what, though? In the same way that we've seen quarterbacks in today's day and age be expendable, head coaches are the same way. And I think that if no matter who your head coach is, if the guy you really want is available, then you make that move.
Go get him.
But then that's what I'm saying. They didn't. He was available.
But they did. Nah. Hey, at the sacrifice of the black man.
They let him 100% for a reason.
Hey, maybe Vrabel said, I need a year off.
What the price was too high last year. Price might have went down too.
Yeah, so we don't know.
Said the Cowboys want me and whoever, the Saints want me.
So you just have this black head coach just take all these losses.
Well,
and,
I mean,
and he's never going to get another head coaching
job. The report back on Gerard Mayo was he wasn't qualified for the job.
He's never going to get another head coaching job.
He was never qualified from the job when they hired him to do the job?
That's the report back. Ken, they were saying that he had no idea how to be a head coach. Of course, it was his first time as a head coach, so of course. But they weren't willing to give him the grace, especially because the coaches they wanted, to Nick's point, was sitting out there. But they weren't willing him to get that. They weren't going to give him the grace to learn how to be a head coach.
So why did they hire him?
That's the mystery.
He was the owner. He was the owner's, like, he had a really close connection to Kraft. That's what I
Because he used to play when they won Super Bowls. My thing was more about they needed somebody to take these losses, Ken. And he was right in the building. He was willing to take it.
Damn.
Take that.
That's rough.
I thought they got rid of affirmative action. all right, we'll be back right after this quick break.
If you are a fan of hip hop and love unfiltered discussions on the culture, check out Dead in Hip Hop. From album reviews to hip hop debates, Dead in Hip Hop always keeps it real. Go to youtube.com/deadinhiphop and search for Dead in Hip Hop or DEHH to subscribe now. Dead in Hip Hop, no politics, no BS.
The Texans, the Houston Texans, improved to 4-5 after winning one of the craziest games of the season against the Jacksonville Jaguars, scoring 26 unanswered points in the fourth quarter after putting up only 10 points in the previous three to win 36-29. Jeez. What does this win say about D'Amico Ryans as a head coach? And, of course, we definitely have to talk about this loss for the Jaguars and what this say about them.
Who won? I can go, man. For me, it says a lot about D'Amico and the attitude that he's given to this team. You're playing without your star quarterback, which is tough in itself. You got Davis Mills in there, which is decent backup, but you didn't have a lot of fight. But to rally the troops and to get them to believe, and that late in the game, you're down, what, 26-10 or 29-10, something like that, to come back and score 26 in the fourth quarter takes a heck of a coaching job. You do got to look at early on and how you got in this hole to begin with, but sometimes you're going to win games like that, and it shows a lot of character for this team to keep fighting and not to give up on their coach going down the stretch. For a team like the Jaguars, this is not a good look, man. It's not a good look at all whatsoever. You saw the frustration from the coach, man, when boy, he threw the headset and that clipboard down so fast. He was not happy with Trevor whatsoever. Trevor let him down. You can tell that Trevor is skating on thin ice in Jacksonville. They're already tired of him. And this was you had every opportunity to be successful at this point. These are winnable games. They gave you, you know, pretty much a lot of a great supporting cast to come into the season with. You got a good defense. All you had to do was hold down the fort, and he did not do so. So Trevor is the odd man out. You just hired a new coach. That's the person everybody's eyes are on at this point for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But it's an ugly, ugly game for them. It's an ugly way to lose a game. You don't give up 26 points in the fourth quarter whatsoever. And that's just not how it goes.
You know, it's crazy because throughout the game, the announcers kept talking about how great the defense was. And
which defense?
For the Texans. They were talking about the Texans defense here and there. It's just in this game, they had a problem with it because Davis Mills was in. And then, you know, they somehow found a way to win this game because of ineffective offense from the Jaguars in the fourth quarter. I mean, I think they had two, three and outs in that fourth quarter?
They were shut out the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, they couldn't sustain drives to eat clock. You know, and it was very similar to I can't remember the game where that happened, where the team score early and they scored in the fourth quarter, they make an 11-point game. And then things get a little tight at that point. But to lose this game to a backup quarterback is inexcusable. It just cannot happen, you know. And then you all you have to do is go down and get in position to score a field goal to even salvage it, and the ball gets popped out of your hands. And I think Will Anderson or defensive lineman pick it up and run it for a meaningless touchdown. Like, what in the hell? Mm-hmm. What is that? That should not happen at all. So Trevor wasn't great. He didn't make plays, but this, something like this, bro. This is a coaching disaster. This is as much a coaching loss as it is on Trevor Lawrence.
I think that this is turning a new leaf for Jacksonville in the sense of they're getting tired of Trevor Lawrence, and that's the backlash that you're seeing. I know they just paid him, as the chat was saying. It's going to be hard to get rid of him, but I think they're more willing to get rid of him than anybody in Houston is willing to do anything to this. They still got belief in C.J. Stroud. They still got a top-notch defense in Houston. D'Amico Ryans is still a very good coach. Jacksonville, on the other hand, just brought this coach in last year. Trevor Lawrence has been doing this thing that we've seen in this game for 4 or 5 years. So there has to be a conversation to be had. We just talked about coaches and how they're tied to quarterbacks. There has to be a conversation that's going to be had with Jacksonville's head coach and the general manager and ownership. Like, I don't really know if I rock with dude, because I don't know if he can win football games. Yeah, and this was before his time. They made it to the AFC Championship 1 year, but now here – y'all telling me that Travis Hunter may be a bust. Y'all telling me that they have a terrible personnel problem. I got to put all my eggs in the basket of Trevor Lawrence if I'm hoping on winning in the next 3 to 5 years. If I'm that head coach, I'm ready to have a conversation with the GM. Mm.
First of all, as a head coach, that's ballsy as hell. In year two, to be like, I need to have a conversation about a nigga you paying triple my salary.
I mean, do you want to get fired next year?
He's going to get fired.
Trevor Lawrence, the success of that team, especially if we're questioning what Travis Hunter is going to be, and they gave away all of that draft capital. If I'm the head coach, I'm looking at it like, bro, this dude can't get it done.
Spike,
and now y'all telling me that this dude right here can't even play both sides of the ball like we thought. Something got to happen.
Spike, what we're saying is that this coach can't come in and get what we need out of Trevor Lawrence, because we paid Trevor Lawrence and we need the coach to maximize his talent. It's the very same conversation we're having in Chicago. This guy got the job because Trevor Lawrence was the quarterback and he agreed to take the job. But he can't get it done.
But the thing, though, is Ken, and this is what I've been touting in Chicago with Ben Johnson, is the fact that we've seen a better version of Caleb Williams, right? We're not seeing that in regards to Trevor Lawrence, and that's the main thing that Spike Lou is talking about, where right now the public perception on Trevor Lawrence is turning. So that is going to bode well in favor of the coach and then the franchise of moving on from Trevor Lawrence, because we've seen the peak Trevor Lawrence, and that was arguably his rookie year, or the year that they made the playoffs. Wasn't that his rookie year, if I'm not mistaken, or year two?
Third year. They went to the
AFC. Yeah, yeah. So, So it was very early in his career. Like, okay, cool. Let's build on that. Let's stack on that. And he hasn't been able to do that. And he's been through multiple head coaches now, Ken. So the thing is that now the quarterback has to be questioned. Because it's no longer, and Nick, I think you said this last on the last stream, where if a quarterback gets hired with a head coach and they move a year or two and the quarterback is trash, then they move on from the head coach, the next person is going to be the quarterback to go. They've already done that for Trevor Lawrence. And I think that at the end of the day, this is just a microcosm of where these organizations are at. I think the Texans are, in terms of the coaching staff, they are a better coaching staff. I think that they fought crazy injuries this year, obviously including CJ Stroud now. But the Texans need depth on offense. They need wide receiver depth. They need O-line depth. They just have a lack of depth. But I think that they are steering the ship in the right way, where with Jacksonville at this point in time, it's – we have to question everything. We have to question the multiple head coaches. We have to question Trevor Lawrence. Is he as good as he is? We have to question the GM making that move for Travis Hunter and really selling a bill of goods that hasn't lived up to it. So at the end of the day, we just have to question Jacksonville, and I would not be surprised if there are wholesale changes there. Look, Ken, I think that there is a market for Trevor Lawrence. I think that there are some head coaches in situations like the Raiders that would make a move for a guy like Trevor Lawrence. You know what I'm saying? I think Trevor Lawrence still got tread on the tire, but the next spot better be his best spot because he might be a career backup after that.
Nick, everybody, a 5-year, $275 million extension. So good luck with trying to figure out what's going to happen with that. But Lee, in terms of moving him and just going to somebody else. Hold on.
Pause
but,
real quick. Ken, the Broncos have made it to the playoffs, and I'm assuming they're going to make it this year too, with the biggest dead cap ever in sports history. So you can move on from a quarterback and still have success and not have the money.
But you have to believe in Liam Cohen as the guy to get it done. You know what I'm saying? 100%. Like, he would be the guy if he gets his quote-unquote quarterback, because he knew Trevor Lawrence was there. But he even, Nick, threw some shade at Trevor Lawrence. I'm reading here that he basically called out his ability to read defenses. He said there were a few offensive plays that you'd like to have back. And he was talking about a post round in the third quarter. That they have an opportunity there to take the number one, you know, there as a number one read to take and get a touchdown or explosive play. And apparently he didn't get it done. So, you know, let's see how this goes.
My thing is, I first and foremost want to give a shout out to D'Amico Ryan. He's proved, like, this season, he's proven what kind of head coach he is. And he's at least inspiring enough to believe that they can win a game when they down. What you say, Shelton, 26-something points going into the fourth quarter? Like, that's nuts that he was able to win and at home. Like, so he had to prove it at home too. But I think this Texans team, I would, moving forward, I would borderline question their GM. They maybe need to fire their GM, because their GM is another reason why this offensive line is bad, because they traded with Tunsil for a pack of peanuts. And they've been able to draft certain wide receivers, but they keep getting hurt. And then outside of defense, I don't know what else he's put around that offense to make see that really actually, like, that helps them go moving forward. So maybe the GM, maybe didn't question, but I think the head coach is fine. With Jacksonville, bro, I think it's time. I think after this season, if they don't make the playoffs, it's fire sale. And I was just about to say the team that FIFA was talking about. I was like, if I'm Raiders, I'm like, look, like Lucid mentioned, we got a geriatric nigga at the head coach. We ain't got time to draft another quarterback and develop him and do all that shit. Let's go ahead and get Trevor Lawrence over here for a couple years, seasons, see what we do. We'll give up our first, you know, two first-round picks or how much it's going to cost. We ain't going to do shit with them anyway, because ain't no quarterbacks coming out this year or probably next year. So it's just like, let's go ahead and try this right now. We got a run. We got a potential running back. We got a tight end. We got a good defense if it's like if it's active.
Solid defense.
Let's make it happen. I think that's what I would see after this, because like it's not even just about Trevor Lawrence. I already know how I feel about Trevor Lawrence. I never thought he was gonna be shit anyway. But there's a lot of number ones on this defense, Shelton. Like, what's his name? Walker. What's his name? This Josh. Wasn't it Josh Allen? Like there's a lot of number ones, like first round picks, high top five first round picks on this defense, and they were balling early in the season, and now they shit in the bed. But nonetheless, like to me, it's just like there's so much capital on this team that's not doing shit clearly, and the head coach ain't shit. Like they both cussing out each other like they brothers. Trevor Lawrence has shooed him off like plenty of times. Where to me, it's just more of like at this point, bro. There's nobody that I respect on the Jacksonville Jaguars. You talking about front office, the coaching staff, to the quarter, to the players. There's nobody that I respect on this team. Let everybody go. I guess you keep Travis because you keep Travis, but. And even then, I'm saying let everybody go because they clearly traded away their two first-round picks to get Travis. So you need something to get back into the draft. But if they don't make the playoffs this season, which, like I mentioned, is a wide-open AFC, blow it up.
Yeah, I was looking for something else I thought was interesting. Oh, yeah, but I'll say that for later. But – yeah, we'll see. I think they still got a they better hope they got a shot because it's not looking good. Anyway, we'll be back with we need to talk right after this quick break.
If you're looking for real conversations and motivations to be your best, then you have to check out Another Week in the Books. Another Week in the Books with Spike Lee and Rich is your go-to podcast for growth and community. Plenty of dope conversations take place week to week as they inspire each other to be better through conversations. Another Week in the Books, wherever you get your podcast.
The silence.
supposed to be We Need to Talk.
We do need to talk. I'm about to need to talk.
I'm about to hit up one of the producers and see like calling niggas out. his picture gonna be up on the bottom of the screen.
there you go, I guess.
All right, we need to talk, man. So we need to talk. It was up in the air. I told Jalen, whatever the outcome of this Monday night game, we can talk about either one of those squads. And come to look at this Monday night game.
You didn't
game,
have the topic. That's what it was, you
said. Yeah, I did. It was either one of these bums, either one of these teams that showed up like bums, but it just so happened that both of them showed up like bums. You got the Eagles who can only score 10 points. Okay, yeah, do what you got to do to win. That's the narrative that they're trying to put behind Jalen Hurts right now. Okay, whatever. I think I can accept that. However, you do have a Matt LaFleur, you do have a Jordan Love, you do have a Green Bay offense and defense that people are putting in the upper echelon of the league, and now we're looking at them like y'all can't score 10 points on a primetime football game against the Eagles. Y'all can't do that, and y'all supposed to be a team that can contend in the NFC. It speaks to the difference, I feel like, in the NFC between the Philadelphia Eagles and the second-best team. Not to say the Eagles are that great because we've seen them and their quarterback play throughout this game and their play calling. There's still something to be said about that we can talk about. But the even larger conversation is Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, this Green Bay Packers offense in their three losses. We're talking about 16 points, 13 points, and 9 points or some shit like that. That's unacceptable for somebody who's supposed to win the Super Bowl. We got to talk about the Packers.
Lou, I'm so glad you brought this up. You know, I didn't know this was going to be the conversation. So I was going to wait a week and see what happened this week, but you know, why wait? Because, you know, I LaFleur's supposed to be that guy, Jordan Love's supposed to be that guy. They went and got Parsons, supposed to be help with the defense, and neither one of them are looking to be that guy right now. And all the talk about everything LaFleur, et cetera, and he's just not getting the job done, and you're taking a step backwards this year. And, you know, it's time to look at him. Like, you're supposed to be taking a step forward, and you're not. Jordan Love hasn't shown any sort of improvement at all. So he just may be a guy. and he very much takes a lot of as Manny said, man, he's almost to the point where he's just not good. You know, I won't go as extreme as Manny talking about he sucked, but that's a game you got to win, bro. Like, if you're that guy, you got, and that game's yours for the taking. I know the Packers, the Eagles defense is really, really great, but you're supposed to be a contender. Yeah. So contend.
They're trying to blame injuries, but still.
No, man. You can't blame that one on injuries.
There's a few drops in this game. There's a few drops.
Yeah, but look. At the end of the day, when it's looked bad in Green Bay, it's been really bad. And we gave them excuses earlier on in the season. But at this point, you know, like Ken said, if you're going to be in contention, these are the games that you got to win. And for me, my bigger question is with Mike LaFleur over Jordan Love, because Jordan Love might not be elite. He might just be really good. But I think that for Jordan Love to really become, to take that next step, Ken, that you were talking about, is consistency at this point. Like, set the bar and just be like, this is the minimum level that I'm going to play at, because he's too much of a roller coaster. His highs are super high, yeah, and his lows are too low. His lows need to be higher. You know what I'm saying? Like, your low needs to be, bro, like, we're going to score 13 to 14 points at our worst. You can't go out here against a championship contending Eagles team that
Super
is
Bowl
struggling.
Champions.
Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? And they're trying to figure it out, and they're kind of, you know, wobbly as well. You have to exert your dominance at home. So, to me, look, Mike LaFleur, this is the first time that I have to question him. And I think that's who – Matt LaFleur. Who I said?
Mike.
Oh, my bad.
Question his brother, too.
Yeah, 100%. But Gucci Mane LaFleur, bro, like, he's the topic of conversation here, because you've drafted wide receiver. You've drafted offense. You know, you went and got a running back. This is your guy at quarterback. It can't look like this when it's bad, bro. Like, it just can't. It can't. And you're an offensive head coach. So, nah, you know, they've been relying on that defense. But, nah, man, Matt LaFleur is the topic of conversation here.
It didn't look good. Oh, go ahead, Sean. Go ahead.
I was just going to say three numbers are important, not just for this game, but for the season for the Green Bay Packers. 16, 13, and 10. You lost three games with teams not scoring more than 16 points. That's ridiculous in itself. You should never lose games when your defense plays good enough to get you a victory like that. Two touchdowns is not too much to ask for a Green Bay offense that is talented as this. What this tells me more than anything, which I love Jordan Love, I just think he gets rattled easy. It's so. We talk about quarterback play and the things that quarterbacks have to do. The main thing you got to have as a quarterback is nerves of steel. Nothing can rattle you. You got to learn how to sit there in that pocket and take the pressure and deal with whatever comes your way. When we talk about Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest assets he has is his calmness in the line of fire. He steps up when it's time to play. You got to have some of that. And Jordan Love has none of that. I don't think the defense feared him one bit last night. He didn't attack where he needed to attack. There were certain open areas that he just left up for chance, and it was his fault. It wasn't nobody else. We can't blame LaFleur for all that. That's a lot on the quarterback. And I love Jordan Love. So for me to say that, it takes a lot. I put more on him than I do on anybody else. He has to step up in moments like that. You're at home. It's cold. You just got to step up and prove that this is your place. This Lambeau Field. People scared to come there.
Matt picked them, though. So, Shelton, I don't disagree with you, but Matt picked them, and that's the reason why it's more on Matt for me. You pick. This is not somebody you inherited. You picked them when you had an MVP quarterback. You said this was the guy. So all of that you talking about, in my opinion, that's on Matt because he picked them.
And Shelton, I saw that they said the Eagles knew the plays that the Packers were calling.
They were
calling out. It's on the audio.
That's a LaFleur thing, like, bro. Come on, man.
Right now, Ken, and I'm
Jordan
glad
Love can't change his plays.
I'm glad that you.
They probably would have known that too.
Time was running out, Lou, and he couldn't. They didn't have a timeout.
Yeah, they barely.
I do agree. It is a LaFleur thing, but I'm wondering, can he change his plays?
It was that fourth. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say they barely got the snap off on damn near every drive. Like every time they snapped, I was surprised they didn't get a delay of game. Had like more penalties than that.
Well, that's a quarterback thing, right there.
But my thing is seeing Matt LaFleur. What was this? Monday Night Football. He was on the bench. He was looking away from the game. Like he was playing a lottery ticket. I was like, nigga, is this how you call plays? We see the behind the curtain of that. My thing is, look, I fuck with Gucci Mane LaFleur. I'm the one that coined him that, Lou. People don't know that. Gucci Mane LaFleur and J-Lo. Like they supposed to be a perfect tandem. They're supposed to be a power couple. But right now, like that defense is really nice. They did not play well against the Cowboys, but shit. If you tell me a defense can play 16 out of 17 weeks, I'm like, shit, I'll take those odds. Like you mentioned, Sheldon, you said 16, 13, and 10. It's like, bro, I'm more happy when a defense can hold a team to under 20 points or 21 points. So that's like three scores.
Right.
But if you're saying less than three scores against the defending champs at home, it's kind of like, again, going into that game, Lou, if I said the Eagles ain't like Jalen Hurts only gonna have one touchdown, they're gonna be 10 points. They're gonna shut him out the first half, and that's it. You'd be like, oh yeah, the Packers win that game.
They should win that.
They should win that. And it's like, and I know that they lost Kraft, who was a great. He was having a great season too.
He got
taken out, but you still got a first round pick at wide receiver. You still got Christian Watson. You still got Romeo Doc. Like you got again. These aren't names. I'm just saying they have at least a decent weapons. We've seen them win playoff games.
You got Jacobs running the football.
Yeah. I mean, well, if they're not scared of the pass, they're going to stack the box. That's what the Eagles did. That's what I saw. They was like, look, we don't know half these niggas Nick just named. So we're going to play man coverage. And they was mostly getting it done like that. So, but you have to win this game, bro. You got to me. It's like you have to score at least 14 points. You score 14 points, you damn near win two of these three games that Sheldon was just talking about. So it's just like, bro.
I think people expect the Eagles to perform like this, so it wasn't a big deal. But the Packers,
are you people?
I am people.
I get why you said it. I do too, Lou.
To what y'all said, like the fact that y'all are Super Bowl contenders. And you can't put up 17 points, bro? We can't get 17 out of you with Jordan Love?
They only needed 10 to win, Lou.
They needed 13. They just needed a touchdown and a field goal to win.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Eagles. My bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, shit, yeah. The Eagles are like this Eagles side
like
of the
your
Eagles.
Slow cousin. They like your slow cousin, King. Like, it's okay. But
nah, Ken, the Eagles.
Y'all can limp past the finish line if y'all want to.
Ken, the Eagles are something we ain't never seen before. We've never seen a black team led by a black quarterback have white man luck. That's what the Eagles season is. It's like y'all be winning games and it's so unconvincing. Like, what's the difference between this game and the Raiders and the Broncos? I feel like we coming away to say the same shit. We can't believe it's that bad on the other side. And the team that actually won, we don't even believe.
Well, the difference in the two, Nick, for me is that we've seen even Green Bay show that they can play offense. We've seen the Eagles. We've seen Jalen Hurts have a perfect game this season. So you know what they're capable of doing. So for me, I don't pay no attention. Though this happened, so this has been going on for the last 3-4 years, where there's games where it's going to be good, there's games where it's going to be bad. But more times, 9 times out of 10, they're going to come out with a victory. So to this point, you shouldn't even pay no attention. It's just like, whatever.
What makes me upset even more is that right when Sheldon started bandwagoning with the Eagles, that's when they started winning. So he say goofy shit like that, like, oh, yeah, we've been here before.
I never did that, Lou.
We won our second Super Bowl. We were counted out as well. Like,
Lou,
nigga,
Lou, when I came on board, it was getting my ass kicked.
Every week, I want you to know that I don't believe you're a real fan.
Lou, that's right. Lou, when I talked about them, they was getting their ass kicked. When I started, just know Carolina beat them. The Cowboys beat them bad. It was ugly when I came around. So, yeah, that's what it is now, though. At this point, it don't even matter.
What was you gonna say, Ken?
I forgot. It probably didn't even matter. Oh, AJ Brown. How AJ Brown doing?
AJ, he definitely didn't tell you no lies. Yeah, I'll watch it. Hey, Lou, I'll watch him after every game. I want to see if they interview him and ask him and see how he looks. He responded well. He was like, yeah, man. He was getting a lot of double coverage. They were rolling the coverage his way. That's how Devontae got his touchdown. He was saying all the right stuff, which I was shocked by, because usually AJ keep it a bean, like Dick like to say.
Would you be surprised if he was gone next year?
Not at all. You can tell that there's a disconnect between him and Jalen. It's not even a question. It is unfortunate because they had a magical connection, the two of them. They were close. They were best friends. Something, a lot of people say stuff happened off the field.
Something happened.
It was.
That nigga said magical.
It was. Lou, you seen it. So, and saying that, man, something happened to change that. But, I mean, I really can't say too much about it. But I saw AJ blocking a little bit. But there's effort issues. And I see people, Seth Joyner's, a couple of others, questioning AJ's effort towards catching sometimes. They say it's a trust factor and it's some other things going on.
You on the Jalen Hurts squad so bad, you throwing AJ under the bus.
You throwing AJ under the bus. I'm calling it. I'm calling it like I see it, bro.
He said AJ
can't. No, I said that's what Seth Joyner said. I said that's what the players are saying. Former players, but yeah,
I'm just saying. I don't care if Tom Joyner told you. I'm just saying that I never thought that I would see infighting. This is the issue with the Eagles. Is like they're the reason why we think they shitty at the end of the day, because they fight with each other and not really just play their role. Like, yeah. There's no reason for there to be any issues in the Eagles locker room, and but shit, AJ Brown, bro, he gonna get traded in the offseason. I feel like that's what's going on.
Yeah, you better hope he get a ring. Jair quit. Alexander.
Hey, he on the road. He on the road.
He got traded to the Super Bowl champions and walked
don't
away.
Don't do that, man. Don't do that, man. I feel bad for Jair, man. We can't laugh at Jair.
Jair, a motivational speaker, Ken.
From my understanding, Jair came in and he said he was healthy, but when they looked at him, they said, "Nah, bro, you need a little bit more time." And he chose to step away. That knee is a lot worse off than he initially thought. It was a fly high he took because he got all those picks. He hit on Jalen Phillips, though. I don't know if you watched the game, but Jalen Phillips balled out. And that was an amazing trade for a third round draft pick. And how he still got 10 picks in this draft coming up.
It's one game. Chill out, bro. That like it's a fucking come on, y'all ain't win the Super Bowl, y'all just beat the Packers.
so they lost out on the Jair trade. Okay.
Well, the Jair trade was for a 6th round pick. And like I said, I think he just took a flyer on him to see if he had anything. And we see he's not. So yeah, he lost out on that one. Howie has a good time. Yeah.
That's why they don't trust niggas with green eyes. That's what it is. Lou know what I'm talking about. They don't never trust a nigga with green eyes, boy. Get that nigga away from me.
Michael Ealy ass nigga.
Watch Reasonable Doubt season 1. You'll find out exactly what you're talking about. Had your whole family fucked up.
Oh, man.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll leave it there and... up next, man, we'll move right along here. We got, let's talk about the weekly picks. Let's see how we did with that over this week. So we're back again for another week of our NFL weekly picks. Last week's top dog was Nick, who went 3-1. Nick. So let's see who will be leading the pack after week 11.
Hey, right back.
This is a race for second place, bro.
Let's get a recap.
Right back like I never left, nigga. Y'all niggas fucked up on that Chargers.
I was gonna say Pittsburgh let me down, boy. Pittsburgh let me down. I should have knew better. It's prime time. Pittsburgh ain't played good in prime time all year.
Pittsburgh let Pittsburgh down, boy. That was a ugly game for
Nick.
Prime
you didn't send in the standings, Nick.
No, I did.
Yeah, they talking about Aaron Rodgers, bro. They were like Aaron Rodgers was just awful. Play pathetic. How many times I didn't watch that game.
He was so scared to get
man. Listen,
he didn't want nobody to touch him, bro. And was still getting smacked.
Yeah, yeah. I would say the rankings is overall rankings. Shelton is 24-16. Lou is 19-21. Me and FIFA are tied at 18-22, and Ken has got 17-23.
Time for a comeback. All right, so let's get into the picks for this week.
Y'all, the Baltimore Ravens are picks.
All right, so who picked the Lions?
I did, because why would I pick the Eagles?
Oh, well, I got you. You make sense. So, FIFA, you went with the Lions. Interesting.
FIFA, you don't learn.
Yeah, I look. Even though Philly wins a lot of ugly games, we've seen the Lions put up big numbers, and for them, it's just a level of consistency this season. So I think that if they think who they think they are, let that sink in, then they're going to do what they need to do, and they're going to score more than 20 points.
I want to come back to this game, or basically the Lions. I want to definitely get through the picks, but I do want to revisit the Lions after we go through the picks. What, you have something to say? Spike,
I was just saying that Dan Campbell called the plays on Sunday, and it was very resonating as far as the style of play that the Lions are trying to have, and I think that's going to be very key to him beating the Eagles this week.
Okay. Man, he's playing the Washington Commanders. That's 80 years old. It didn't matter who called him plays. You could have called him.
Let's go to the next one. What's up next?
Oh, shit.
Y'all don't believe in the Broncos, man. Now they gonna win. We
how you gonna ask me the question? How you gonna ask me the question off the answer you gave?
Broncos gonna win.
Broncos gonna win.
Nah, Chiefs gonna get this one.
Watch the Broncos win in the upset blowout.
It's gonna be a blowout.
It's gonna be 324. Bo Nix gonna have the game of his life.
He better not, bro.
Hey, watch this happen, bro. It's going to crumble everything.
Hey, but if the Chiefs lose,
they have to play. They fighting to get in the playoffs.
If the Chiefs lose, they have to win out. They have
Chiefs
to win
not
out.
Losing. Yeah. Chiefs, like a playoff. No way
this is essentially a playoff game for them.
There's no way the Chiefs are losing this game.
I told you that last week. I was like, the Chiefs are in the playoffs now. That bye week was like, that should have treated like a first round bye. Because every game is
the
playoffs.
Yeah. All right, what's next? Let's go to the next one.
Oh, wow.
You dolo.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, the Bills.
Listen.
Buffalo?
At Buffalo, yeah. The righteous path, Lou, sometimes is done alone. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to let y'all know right now. I think... If y'all haven't been paying attention to Buffalo, but they lost to Miami, if y'all didn't realize it. It happens.
This the NFL, bro.
I don't believe Tampa Bay can go on the road and win in Buffalo.
That's tough. And Buffalo coming off a loss.
I'm just saying Josh Allen is back to turn the ball over, one. Two, we realize, I think there's a lot of game film out there now that where you show that the Bills don't got nobody. Them trading away Stephon Diggs actually is going to come back to bite them in the ass because Keon Coleman ain't no damn Stephon Diggs. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's fact.
So basically, it's just Josh Allen and the boys. And I'd rather watch a TV show. So to me, Baker still got enough
Josh
talent.
Josh Allen and the boys can beat Baker and
Abuka. And they, like, they're slowly getting some people back now. Mike Evans is still gone. But they still got that run game. They still got a really good defense, underrated defense too.
Their main running back is out still.
Bucky Irvin.
Bucky Irvin is still out. That hurts worse. Rashad White ain't doing much. Nothing. Rashad White had 10 rushes for 38 yards.
They got Tucker too. Tucker was doing.
If they had Bucky, I would have took them to win this game because it's gonna be cold in Buffalo and they got to run the ball and they don't got the personnel to run the football.
No, they definitely have to have a running game, and they're not. This is not going to be enough. Buffalo got something to play for. They fighting. Tampa Bay is pretty much in first.
They fighting too. They got.
They're in first place. They're in first place in their division. Buffalo is fighting the whole long to try to keep up with New England. Listen, they don't want to lose.
If Atlanta wins too, if the Bucks have a hard schedule moving forward. I don't know if you know that. If they keep losing and Atlanta gets like a few games here and there, bro, they're
not Atlanta.
Listen, Ken.
we definitely got to move on to
that's
the next
rough. One. That's rough, bro. Yeah.
Let's see if that happens.
Hey, y'all ain't right, bro.
I'm just saying, they ain't been shit since Pennis opened his mouth and said that shit. Look, bro, they've been losing ever since. All right, anyway.
Yeah,
the people have been together on this peaks, Luke.
Hey, Stafford, bro, MVP combo.
Hey, bro, he's the one that I really see.
Because they don't want to give it to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor should get it.
I agree with y'all. I know last week it may have came out as a disagreement, but I definitely think that Jonathan Taylor is far and away MVP. Touchdowns, yards, impact, all that this year.
At this point in the season,
Matt Stafford is two.
I'm just saying the conversation. I'm not saying MVP, but Stafford balling, bro.
Yeah, Stafford has to be
crazy.
He got to be leading the conversation, if you ask me, at this point, because
you got him over Taylor.
Yeah, I do. I'm with you though, Luke. I think the Taylor should win it, but if you ask me who's going to win it, it's going to be Stafford.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm saying. I think Taylor is the MVP.
And I think we're seeing, I know Q and Sheldon are going to disagree. I think we're seeing the best team in the NFC getting hot. And then you got Davante Adams, you got Puka Nacua.
Hey, Davante Nacua, boy. Trust me, I know about moving quick and then you're saying like, hey,
he's on his last leg.
The check engine light came on, my boy.
He
really do nothing like that.
Nick,
hey,
the Eagles have beat them 4 or 5 times in a row. They ain't scared of them at all. Go ahead.
I think the team that people should be scared of is Seattle, though, because I think Darnold is here to like do what he has to do. I think their defense is serious. They got a number one receiver in the league. Yes. They got a great running back. Like, their coach is legit.
No, they got two. They have two running backs.
They got two good running backs.
You need a great one in the playoffs.
Really, two good running backs in the defense that they have. A quarterback that may not.
I do like that defense.
Seattle gonna be serious, man.
I don't believe in Sam Darnold, bro. Y'all keep on. Hey, Sheldon.
JSN.
We done read this book before.
They telling me that the Diary of a Mad Black Woman is different than Madea's Family Reunion. I'm saying, nigga, it's the same movie.
Yes, we have seen this movie several times, Nick.
I've seen this shit over and over.
We know how this ends.
Well, nobody's saying they're going to the Super Bowl.
He said they.
Luke is talking about this game.
Y'all not having that much bravado for a game because they can easily lose this game.
Y'all are just talking about the Rams being – I mean, Stafford being the MVP candidate. I'm telling you, they're going to win this game against your MVP candidate. That's where the bravado came from.
And I'm saying that's insane to say that because you just literally said they're playing against an MVP candidate and they have none. On top of that, they have the better head coaches.
This is going to show you about your MVP candidate.
They have the
and then we'll do power rankings.
So whenever I say about picking a team where it seems like it's a hard choice, what do I always say? The two things you look at:
who's at home and the best player.
That's what you do when you bet games. I just said, who got the better head coach? Who got the better quarterback?
You do, Nick. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm talking about what I bet on. He's right.
Top to bottom, the Seahawks are a better team. Top to bottom.
True.
Ooh. Okay. Power rankings. Spike, you up.
These power rankings are teams that will not live up to their expectations for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. All right. These are people that you think may be doing something. They may be power. Nope. Not so fast, my friend.
Boy, if there's a team on here, I ain't trying to hear it.
Number five, the New England Patriots. I heard it should have been talking. Number one. I heard MVP talk for Drake May. Oh, you're going to love my number one, Sheldon. I heard MVP talk for Drake May. I've heard all of these things. 8-2, Patriots back. They got another Brady. I don't believe it. I do need to see Drake May do what he needs to do in the playoffs. Number four, MVP this, MVP that. I don't know. what y'all are talking about when it comes to Matt Stafford. Yes, he's doing a great job. Do it again in the playoffs, older by 2 years than you were the last time.
He does it. Super Bowl.
He hey, do it again. Do it again and win another ring.
Do this list over say, again.
This, do it
bro,
again.
That's
the Rams. I don't care nothing about what y'all saying. They got to show up and do what they need to do. Number three, I don't care about Indiana Jones, especially after how they got done in Pittsburgh. They got to come, Jonathan Taylor included, to the playoffs and do what they need to do, especially if they get the number one seed. And they ain't got to go outside the whole AFC playoffs. I ain't got to go to the cold of Baltimore, Buffalo, or Kansas City. Everybody got to come to me. Y'all got to prove it. Y'all got to do it this year. If not, I wouldn't pay Daniel Jones for the next year. Pack him up. Mm. Number two.
We can stop Nick. At two.
You know what number one. You let that number one lurk.
I know you.
Nick. Nick, number two, this coach of all time that you think Harbaugh is?
He is.
I don't want to hear none of that shit. Come to the playoffs and do what you're supposed to do. You got a lead. I know both of the tackles are down. I know they're going to try to put injuries on them when they fall out of the playoffs and not get to what it's supposed to be. But based on what we're looking at from the Chargers right now, they definitely got to perform this year for us to keep them living up to their expectations. And number one, Jalen, hit the thing, please. There you go,
go back to sleep. Go back to sleep.
That's
man.
What you've been looking for. The fucking Philadelphia Eagles, the team that went on Monday Night Football not too long ago and scored 10 points to win a game against a top NFC rival. I don't know what's going on in Philadelphia. I don't know if it's the quarterback
what did you
or
say?
If it's the offense or if it's the head coach. Let me finish, Sheldon. I don't know what it is. I am telling you that there is something wrong, and if you don't win the Super Bowl again this year, you and Q and the rest of the Philadelphia fans will have to stop talking how y'all talking. Y'all got to go back to where Philadelphia fans talk from, and that's in the back, way back
say,
in the back.
Did you say win the game? Oh, I thought you said something
I don't know
else.
What I said. Next segment.
Spike, three of those are good. I don't know about the Philadelphia Eagles. Pick, but that's fine. I understand where that's coming from, the source of that. But the Rams, bro, and you saying for them to do it again
is drunk
after he won a Super Bowl. That's insane.
He's drunk, Ken. He literally took a drink because he's drunk.
No, I'm saying literally do it again. It's not.
I don't understand that. I agree with you. Stafford is 2 years old. We they told us his back was fucked up, so I didn't think they were gonna do shit. But it again is a crazy.
We're
crazy.
Hearing all this talk, Ken. We're hearing all this talk about the Rams. This, the Rams that. Stafford's the MVP. McVay is one of the best coaches in the league. Unless they can go make a deep playoff run, that none of that shit matters. Because that's what they're comparing. They're trying to put Stafford in the conversation with greats. Same thing with McVay. And if they go fizzle out in the first or even the divisional round of the playoffs, then they great. They cool.
I really thought
about greatness.
I really thought you put the Packers or the Lions in there, one of those two teams, because both those teams at times have laid eggs. So you definitely could have put the Packers in there because expectations at one point.
If I didn't hate the Eagles so much, I would have had the Lions in there. You're right.
Yeah, at one point, people thought the Packers were going to go undefeated. That's what they said anyway, themselves.
Well, that's crazy. I don't know why people even say that. That's impossible. Or the Bucks. You could have put the Bucks in there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, anyway, that's another one.
It ain't over the Rams, bro.
I don't think it's put up a shut-up time for the Bucks, though.
And it is for
wherever Baker Mayfield fizzles out, people are going to be like, oh, that's a great story.
He was in MVP talks. I think it is put up a shut-up time, bro.
Nah, the conversation being had about Matt Stafford is like one of the greatest ever, and I'm like, bro, come on, what are we talking about?
I don't think he's one of the greatest. We're talking about Matt Stafford. I think he's one of the greatest.
That's the conversation being had. Especially
but Stafford is proven.
The only reason I kind of give it to you on that, Lou, and I kind of get it, Ken, is because I think that they don't have a good enough running game, and sometimes his support staff. I think that at some point they're gonna lay down. I do think they're gonna lose a couple games, but we talking about Stafford. We can't talk about Stafford in this. I'm talking about the others. I worry about the other people around him more than Stafford. Mm. So that's kind of how I can agree with you on that.
Yeah, Stafford proven, bro.
I didn't hear about Stafford. I worry about Kyron and the other running back.
And having the Pats on this list doesn't make sense because they exceeded expectations already. They didn't know about to win their division after being shitball last year.
The talk that's being had about them now is, though, like AFC Championship game. Yeah.
Well, it's possible because the rest of that schedule is trash.
But see,
go
ahead. He said AFC Championship game. They're not going. Yeah. I don't care what they do. They're not going to championship game. And two, they talking about him as an MVP.
And you got to go through Foxborough. You don't think that there's no chance that they get
no 100%. Okay. So when you say AFC Championship game, I'm just thinking playoffs. I'm thinking getting to the playoffs. So I'm just thinking primarily regular season. The Pats are going to have a good regular season. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
AFC Championship game. If that's the expectation, then yeah, I agree with you. But that's just not my expectation.
That's the talk that I've heard because people are expecting them to get first round by, and then whoever win comes in. Exactly.
See them losing whoever. I don't care who coming in. I think they'll lose that.
They ain't ready for all that, but we'll see. All right. Well,
they'll surprise one team, but that's it.
It depends on the matchup.
If they get the number one seed and surprise one team, they in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, they're not going to surprise one of those teams.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get the number one seed, though.
You're talking about beating Patty Lamar or Josh Allen?
No, number one. And that's why people are making those – why I said that, Nick, because people are saying that they'll get that number one seed and then do that upset thing that you're talking about. Now you got the Pats in the AFC Championship game with Drake May and the second story.
I think the and this is something I just do not want to see. I think the Broncos are probably going to get the number one seed.
Mm. All right. Well, we'll see how it plays out. Only a couple of weeks left, fellas. So we're near the end. A couple of super chats. Weedon Boys, Dart has just as bad a weapons in O-line and is running laps ahead of Ward. Ward is making that vacant Titans head coach job less attractive.
That's not his fault, bro. Like, that's what I'm saying, bro. Like, he got drafted to a shitball organization. They fired a head coach midseason when they should have fired him before they even started the season. Like, bro, you can't. They gave Trevor Lawrence so much bail, but they can't give my boy Ward a full 16-game, 17-game week season.
I don't believe in Ward, but I don't think that statement is true either. Like, he needs a better coach, a better opportunity. Maybe he can be good. I didn't think that he would be coming out of college, but I ain't blaming it on him, like, making that job less attractive. Hell no, I ain't doing just that.
Tennessee makes the job less attractive.
The cupboard is bare. They got one other player, and that's the defensive tackle.
Weedon Boys, not a hot take. Kyler will be in Jacksonville. It's not going to make the situation any better.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what are they going to
do?
Kyler
that's crazy.
I bet they wish they hadn't put you
can't give up on Trevor Lawrence and take Kyler Murray.
Yeah. You need a reset, not a retool in that situation. I could see Kyler going to the Raiders, though. I think he's a chicken
like
type
of guy.
You're just throwing anybody.
One of y'all said Miami. I think Miami is where it's at, though.
Kyler in Los Angeles would be good. At least they have a running back.
Tua,
Raiders. Yeah, as a Raider.
Tua said he's going nowhere.
He could go to the Rams.
Who said that?
Stafford. I was telling Lou, Tua said he ain't going nowhere after he played this week.
That's what he said.
Tua looked like old Tua.
That's what he said.
He's saying a lot of things. Does he even know he's saying it?
No.
I'll take Kyler over Tua tomorrow if I'm in Miami.
All right. Before I get to this last one, because I feel like it's going to be a topic, I do want to go back to this Lions thing. Dan Campbell calling plays. I didn't know he called plays before when I read that article. I thought he was just a rah-rah guy.
People forget that he's an offensive guy. He was a tight end. So, no, I'm just saying, like, his side of the ball is what he knows best is offense.
Yeah, they were saying that he used to call plays before, and he just kind of gave it up to the other coaches. But he said he's when I read the article, I was surprised. I didn't think he called plays like that. That's not what I was always told.
Nick, let me find out. Me neither. Let me find out, Nick, is him not being Johnson.
Hey, listen. Don't get me started because Ben Johnson should have two losses. He should be on a two game losing streak.
If it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk, right, Nick? Talk facts, Nick.
I feel like if Dan Campbell could call plays, we would have knew before now.
You know it now, shit, nigga.
Bro, come on, man. We were sitting here for 3 years talking about he a rah-rah guy. Nobody knows what he does. All he do is bite kneecaps in the press conferences. Nobody ever told me that Dan Campbell called plays anywhere. How is that just now coming
out? He just know the plays, dude, and he called it. That's all. He didn't design none of the plays. He didn't do none of that stuff. He just called it. And it was just watching.
Yeah, well, it's not the fact of who it was against, because I don't. I was just shocked by the news that he called plays. I'm like, where did this come from?
They've never said this ever before. This nigga been coaching in the league for 5 to 6 years. Never have we ever heard. They always tell you the background of the coach. They always tell you he was a defensive coordinator. He was a position coach. We never, ever in our life heard that Dan Campbell called plays. And all of a sudden, on Sunday, in a blowout victory, he's calling the plays.
He had the glasses on, Lou.
Seen it again, and I was ever more. My mind was blown. I was like, "Bro, what the fuck? How?
Why do
nobody ever?"
They said he called. They said he used to call plays back in 2021.
Yeah, the fact that it never came up is crazy.
Hey, it's crazy, kid, how glasses can make a nigga get game respect. we believe he called plays now because he wore glasses while looking.
Yeah, that did it.
He thinking,
but. Y'all ain't never heard of Dan Campbell calling plays.
I never heard that. Right. You're right, Lou. I'm not as flabbergasted as you are, nigga, but I'm just saying.
I don't see why not, bro.
I'm just saying he's a head coach. He's been a head coach for a long time. He should know. We always talk about head coaches not focusing on both sides of the ball. Regardless of where he started at, offense or defense, he's doing a good enough job, I should say, on the defensive side. But a hell of a job on the offensive side to keep him up track because they still scoring 30-plus points without Ben Johnson. You know what I'm saying? On the road. You know what I mean? So, like, if we're giving our credit to Sean Payton, punk ass, we can give credit to Dan Campbell.
Well, look at Nick. That's very mature of you. you're a hater at heart.
Because y'all not ready to have that Sean Payton conversation. That's what it is. Nigga.
Now, I'm with you on Sean Payton. So, you and I, we united on that.
I got to fight FIFA.
But anyway, I don't know. I thought that was interesting, but we'll see. And the players on the team were speaking highly of him, nevertheless. But let's get to this, man. I think this happened today. We the boys dropped it off before we sign off. Nico traded for a fat AD. Can't blame his firing. Nico, they were so ready to get rid of Nico. They were so hell-bent on letting all of the fans know that they wanted to let people know exactly what time they were getting rid of Nico Collins, that they put it in the damn PR press release. Nico Collins is out of the paint as the guy. So
is his name Nico Collins?
Oh, it's not Nico Collins. My bad. What's his name? Nico whatever. What's his name?
It don't matter. He fired, kid. It don't matter. This Nico. What's funny, kid, and I know this is
what
gonna
is
sound
his last name now.
This is gonna sound crazy. This is gonna sound crazy, FIFO. Nico Harrison is the Jesus of the Dallas Mavericks organization. Because he is dying for the sins of the ownership. They knew what they was doing when they said, Nico, listen, like everybody know, we all know this story, Shelton. He got paid a bunch of money under the table, say, listen. Yeah. Fall on this sword, bro. Yes. We're gonna take care of you.
Absolutely.
You're gonna get smeared. Your reputation will be shit, but trust me, you're gonna be paid on the back end, bro. At least your family gonna know the truth. Just don't tell nobody else. You know what I'm saying? That's what's happened because all this shit don't make no sense until you really think that we got gambling happening now, Lou. A lot of shit's coming out where shit has been more rigged than ever. I think that he is taking the fall for all this shit, bro. Because and I also believe, honestly, that trade should have been better, but getting rid of Luka wasn't a bad idea.
He changed his social media profile to unemployed.
Nico?
Yes.
And they did him dirty, Ken, because they didn't have to let everybody know that he was getting fired at 10 a.m.
No.
Eastern Standard Time. Like, who does that? Only black people get fired. Where, like, they schedule a meeting for you to get, drive to work, come into the office, get set up to be like, oh, yeah, back up.
Man, but Nick, I think this is one of those situations where, you know, if he got fired because the trade wasn't good, okay, fine. I think that he would have been fired no matter. I don't think there's a trade package out there that would have made the fans of Dallas happy with trading Luka. They love Luka. My thing
that's
is, I think
he got fired, that is why he got fired. That's reporting that Shams did. Shams said that he was the one that was spearheading this trade for Luka. He was the one that presented it to ownership.
Those are all lies. Don't fall for that. Sense. Don't Lou, believe that.
That's a lie, Lou.
Lou, we talked about this last year. We already know who made the call, bro. He was just the fall guy. It was the ownership group. And that's where I was going. Like, this is one of those situations where, Nick, a couple of years ago, and we were bringing up where we have to hold the organizations and the people running these things accountable. Mm-hmm. And they were the ones that made the decision to get rid of Luka, and now they're trying to rewrite this shit, bro. Like, they're trying to rewrite slavery. they use Nico just like they used to use the black folks back in the day. Go out and do all this work for us.
Ken, this is basketball version of critical race theory. they try to rewrite history, Lou. We gonna look back 20 years.
I didn't know that.
And we gonna say Nico Harrison, Nico Collins, as the kid would call them.
Nico Collins.
They all look alike.
was the reason why Luka got up out of Dallas. He should be blamed. But it's like, bro, that's like if LeBron prime Cavs years and someone wants to trade, the GM wants to trade him, and Dan Gilbert is like, okay. You think they're gonna trade? Like, the ownership is gonna allow a trade like that to happen? No.
Yeah, you don't make a $1 billion trade without that's an ownership move. That's way above a GM's pay grade. That's a $1 billion trade, multi-$1 billion trade. You don't do that. And then for pennies on the dollar, you're never gonna convince me of that. There's no way you can say Nico came to the owner and said, hey, I'm trading Luka. And the owner was like, okay, if you think that's best. No.
Right. I'm telling you, man.
They see the jersey sales, nigga.
Yeah. If I'm Nico, bro, I'm on every single podcast. I'm telling everything. Nah, unless they both got silence.
Ken, they already paid him. I guarantee you. He got his salary plus. To be quiet, he ain't saying nothing. Maybe 10
so they
years
bought
from
the
now.
Silence.
Okay. Absolutely. Maybe
Nico
10 years from now, he'll say
Nico
something.
Nico about to be the king in some random ass state like Kentucky or Montana. Like, he can be running shit there. He got
king
all his money.
Kentucky is crazy.
Hey, yeah. Bro. Mm. There's always a state. If I told you, Lou, name me a state that you would love to be the king in that's not like a major state. You'll be surprised that somebody will be like, if you the king of Alabama, nigga.
Yeah.
Hey, you
Nico bro. Know where the body's buried, so you can best believe Nico taking care of. Nico got some NFL quarterback money somewhere.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, that was it, man. Y'all got anything else?
Quick question, Nick. How you feel about Joe Burrow living back out on the field?
I honestly want him to sit out the rest of the season, bro. Let's go to 2026. This is the last year for the Bengals. After that year, we blow it up. Because that's basically how the contracts are set up. Like, it was this year and next year, as far as, like, if they wanted to compete for a title, that's why they went all in on the offense like that. So, if next year – so, obviously, this year is probably more than likely done. They're not mathematically eliminated, but it's more likely done. Next year is the last year, bro. And I can see them leaving Zach Taylor just to say that. Like, you took us to a Super Bowl. Here's your last year. But if it was me, I would get rid of him this offseason.
So are you saying that because of how well Flacco is playing, or are you saying that just because you don't think
I'm saying that no matter how great that offense is, bro, they threw up 80 points in their last two games and they lost. Mm. Against shitball teams, in my mind. I know people think the Bears are good, but I watched the tape. I don't really think they that good. But they won those games, and to me, if your defense is that horrendous back-to-back seasons and you switch defensive coordinators, then it's the head coach. Everybody got to go.
Go ahead, Ken.
No, I was going to ask FIFO a question, but go ahead.
I was just going to ask y'all, do y'all think the Ravens are going to win that division now?
I think they got a shot.
Yes.
I think it's still wide open, but I think the Ravens are the scariest out of the three.
Yep, yep, yeah. Pittsburgh had a chance, and they lost three. Two very like, close games.
The Bengals are not in the
The Bengals are in it, bro.
I'm trying to think who the third one was.
Like, what is he like? What was it, bro?
The Bengals, the Browns, literally,
the Browns and the Bengals are out, nigga.
Bro, I was trying to think of who the third one was.
I don't know why y'all fell for that.
Trying to sneak that in there,
Shelton. It's because, bro, if they would have beat the Jets and the Browns, I know we got drinking tonight.
Yep.
But they would be 5-4, and then your question that you asked me about Burrow, I would be more happy about. Yes, he should come back. But they're 3-6, bro. They gotta win out, type shit.
Right. Lou's yawning, so I don't want to extend the show too much longer. But FIFO, have you had a chance to watch Ace Bailey play at all in Utah?
I have.
What you think?
I like Ace. He's everything that what the NBA is becoming. You know, long rangey, athletic, can score at every level. No, I like him. I think they made the right pick. I think as much as I like Edgecombe, you know, Philly could have taken Ace. You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is. I think this was honestly, when I look at the rookies, this is a really good draft class. So I'm excited for the NBA.
Before Ace averages 6 points a game, he had 20.
He's been hurt. Yeah. No, he's been hurt, and he's just he just built himself up to start to kind of get into the rotation. So they're kind of ramping up his minutes, and I think he started last game, but looks like he's playing well tonight. So I think we'll finally get a chance to see it, but. You can't look at how many points he's averaging because that's not a good representation of it.
Okay. Gotta watch the game, Shelton. Can't right. go by the damn numbers, Shelton.
Yeah, Tweets Open Door said he got 17 right now. So yeah,
He got 20 tonight. He got 20 tonight.
Since we ended on basketball, I would be reminiscing because I know B would be upset. The Pistons are doing well.
Detroit basketball number one. I was 2 years early on them.
But the Knicks are still going to win the East. The Knicks are still going to win the East.
Hold on. Let's still talk about the number one. Cade is balling. I think that ass whooping in Cade is balling. That ass whooping he took in the playoffs, he took that to heart. And this is how you're supposed to come back the next season. I don't know if y'all watched the game last night, but coming back, against and I know it was Washington, and we know how, you know, on a back-to-back, whatever, good teams lose to bad teams. But the way that K really closed out that game, and shout out to CJ McCollum too. CJ was balling, but yeah, the way K Cunningham came through for that team, that's like, this is what you want to see in terms of progression. He took that playoff loss to heart, and you could tell when he gets back there, you're not going to beat him like that.
You're right. 14 of 45 shots. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Hey, but you know what? Look, I didn't watch the whole game, but I caught it like midway through the third, through the end, and in overtime. They needed him to do that. And sometimes, look, as the point guard, as the floor general on the floor, you just have to gauge what your team needs that night. And they really needed it. Like, he hit a lot of big shots down the stretch.
I agree with you that Cade is really a up-and-coming top-five point guard or whatever guard positions we're going to be. I just don't believe in, like you said, in the playoffs, that they're going to be beat differently. Like, I don't think they have enough around them to really be competitive, regardless of what he's doing.
You wildin'.
I saw it last year when the Knicks dusted their ass. You just said they got their ass busted.
Hey, y'all barely won those games.
What's my favorite series number when it comes to the Knicks? What do I always say?
What?
Knicks and six.
Bro. Knicks that's and six. Right. Yeah. And we know Beasley had some a little something riding on those games too, Nick. So we can't even quantify that as a win. Mm.
All right, well,
speaking of Beasley, RIP, was it Cassie? His baby passed away.
Oh, wow,
his dog,
yeah,
his dog,
yeah. Bro. I thought you were talking about the singer, bro.
I did too. Did we just give a shout out to a dog on here?
Hey, Cassie,
that was his baby, bro. That was his dog, man.
Damn, that's tough news, man. Sorry to hear that. RIP Cassie. All right, man. Well, we'll leave it there, man. We'll catch you guys next time. We are out. Peace.
Peace.